Hello and welcome to episode 14 of our Trainee Times podcast series. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing at Sintons, joined for the penultimate time by my co-host Leah Greenwell, who is a fifth year solicitor apprentice here at Sintons. Hi, Leah.
Oh, David, as if we're on our penultimate episode already.
I can't believe how quick this has gone. When we set about doing this podcast series and we thought about doing 14, well, actually it's 15 because there's next week, isn't there?
It's not the final one, so we save the tears for them.
Absolutely, but it seemed like such a long time away. And I honestly say I thoroughly enjoyed recording every single one of them.
They've been brilliant. So good.
They really have. Such a great response, such a great listener rate to them. It's been absolutely worthwhile. And from the comments we've been getting from you guys listening, we're really pleased that these have helped, which is what we set about them for, wasn't it? To assist and to give you some insights and hopefully make that decision-making process, hopefully making that applying process just that little bit easier. So, yeah, we're really quite proud of this series. I think this is one that...
This has been an excellent series.
Yeah,
and I think the beautiful thing about the Trainee Times podcast is that... we're going to get a new intake of trainees in September and so on, and apprentices of course as well, so you know you'll get to keep up to date with all of us.
Are you suggesting that we record another one of these this time next year? I think that's what you were aiming towards.
We need to make a comeback this time next year.
Excellent,
that's what we need to do.
Okay, well, our episode today, episode 14, I have in front of me a lot of brilliant trainees and solicitor apprentices, all of which you've heard from during the course of the episode, and they all have a question which you, the listeners, have put forward to that individual based on what you heard when you listened to the podcast. Now, we have been absolutely inundated with questions, so realistically, we can't get round every single one. So we have selected one that we thought was quite appropriate for each of our trainees. They are going to come and sit next to us and answer them one by one. And as we do that, the group of people in front of us is going to get smaller and smaller until there's just you and I.
And don't panic to those who are listening. We don't have a podcast of just left field questions. These are questions that you have asked us. They're very sensible questions.
We did consider a left field question podcast, but that might be a podcast that we do on our own, Leah, and perhaps absolutely nothing to do with Sintons at all. Just to add, if you do have a question that doesn't get answered today, I know I've mentioned this a few times before throughout the series, but feel free, please, to email either Leah or I, or email whichever the speakers you want to ask the question of directly. All of our details are on the website, www.sintons.co.uk, and we'd be absolutely delighted to hear from you. We do see, as I've said a couple of times, as this is a reciprocal thing. People have put time and effort and answered questions in our careers, in the beginning of our careers, and as we've developed, and we are really, really happy to do that and help the next generation of talent. So if you do have a question, please do just put it forward and one of us will come back to you straight away and answer it. So Leah, first question is for you. You've been asked, what have been your key highlights of the last 5 years?
So key highlights over the last 5 years, when I think about from when I started, definitely the trainee challenges. I can't pick a favourite because all three that I've done have been brilliant. So that's one highlight overall. I remember in my first year, I also went to a charity dinner, and that was just sort of the first big event that I ever went to where, you know, I had to have a dinner dress on, and, you know, it was just like a big event coming out of school, and you know, I thought it was just absolutely brilliant. So that's another highlight for me. And then I guess personally, probably my graduation last year, getting through university after studying and working.
Okay, very good. So Dan, you have question two, and this is, give us your personal top tips for completing the training contract application form. Well, you get the heavy one, don't you?
Yeah, so I think firstly, you've got to make sure to take your time with the application. You don't want to rush it or leave it till the last minute and then sort of do yourself a disservice. Make sure you give yourself enough time, and if need be, sort of give it a few days after you first draft it to then have a look back again, and you might pick up on a few errors or a few things you can improve on next time. Another one is to make sure you answer the question set. It can be very easy to go off on a tangent sometimes, but make sure you actually link back your answer to the question that's being asked. Another one is that people find it difficult to speak about achievements that they've got and things that they've done well, but we do want to hear that from you. It's important that you don't don't undersell yourself in the application form. And finally, make sure that you do tailor your application to Sinton's. It's very easy to spot a copy and paste application, and it's much better to focus your time on a firm and a firm's application form than it is to just submit mass applications to as many firms as you can.
Absolutely, agree entirely. And get the firm name right. Be amazed how many applications we still get where they can't spell Sinton's, or as you say, it's been a copy and paste and they're not even addressing it to Sinton's. So I agree with what Dan said there. Put time into it. Time, effort, standards. I think that's what you're looking at.
Definitely.
Excellent. Ben, you've got question 3, and it's another quite a long one. What, if anything, did you find the most challenging in your own individual graduate recruitment week, and what did you learn from it?
So during our graduate assessment week, we were tasked with a presentation on a new law firm model that was going to be delivered digitally. Some of the actions were to deliver a presentation on this to various partners, fee earners, and other members of staff, including yourself in the marketing team. Now, there were several challenges with that. There was one: we were all put in teams that we didn't really know each other unless we'd all been to uni together, so we had to build a team quickly. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of pressure alongside in terms of a time frame, so we had to deliver this presentation within a day and a half and do bits of market research, understand what sort of model we were going to deliver. Also alongside doing this, we had the actual graduate assessment week, so we had to do some work and then also do this presentation, and there's obviously the added pressure of performing and presenting in front of
and people watching you.
It's quite nerve-wracking. Ultimately, we delivered this presentation and it was received pretty well, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I had some good questions from it, and then reflecting on it, some of the skills that we learned were teamwork, taking leadership role, some presentation skills, learning market research, and understanding a law firm as a business or as a commercial enterprise.
Excellent, very good. Nathan, you've got a slightly shorter one here. What has been your most nerve-wracking experience of the past 5 years? And that's work-related.
Yeah. I don't think I can pick just one out, so there's three that stood out for me. I'll try and be quick, but waiting for me degree results last summer.
Yeah.
Pretty nerve-wracking because, you know, I needed to pass that to be able to move on to the last 2 years of the apprenticeship. Secondly, I remember a few years ago presenting to, like, a lecture hall full of, like, 70 people sort of a couple of years younger than me and their parents about the apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. Which was like the first time I'd done anything like that. That was really, really nerve-wracking. The podcast that we did a few weeks ago, that was the first time I'd done something like that, so that was pretty nerve-wracking as well. But the main one, I don't know if it's just because it's fresh, but it's probably starting in my new department today, getting used to new people, new systems, new work sort of thing. So that's been pretty nerve-wracking as well.
You mentioned that in the lift this morning, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah. but it's been good.
Very good. So, Sabrina, your question, did you ever consider an alternative career to law, and if so, what?
I think in year 9, I wanted to pursue medicine, but then I quickly realised that the sciences just weren't for me, and then I kind of fell in love with humanities, and that pathway very quickly made me realise that law would be something I'd want to pursue.
Okay.
So then I just focused my GCSEs and A-levels on those topics, and here we are today.
Excellent. Very good. Lee, you've got quite a probing question, and obviously whoever's asked this has really listened to the podcast because they do understand that you've worked in quite a few different areas. So given all you've done in your career and all the different environments and sectors you've worked in, how does law compare in terms of your favourite role so far?
I think for me, the first thing is the variation of work. You might think you'd be doing a similar task for a similar type of client, but in reality it's very different, albeit you're applying the same methodology. The variation can just be very, very different in what you do. And secondly, I think for me, in a good way, the unpredictability. You might think you have everything planned, but again, working with different sets of clients, you quickly have to change what you need to do day in, day out, even by the hour. So yeah, keeps you on your toes, which is quite good.
And in terms of everything you've done, is this your most favourite occupation, would you say, so far?
Yeah, definitely, albeit obviously I'm only 6 months in. I would definitely say, I think if I didn't like it by now, I would have known.
Oh, you'd have moved by now.
Yeah.
Definitely,
absolutely, with the different careers I've had. But no, like I said, the variation, the pace keeps you on your toes. Yeah, definitely my favourite role.
Okay, excellent, thank you. So Emily, this is quite a funny one, given that you've just actually left the department and started in corporate protection today. But if you look back at the last 6 months, what's been your standalone highlight of working in the employment department?
I think that the best part was probably the live Q&As.
Yes.
So that's where we answered 3 employment law questions over Zoom. I think I did 3 in total.
You did.
And answered about 5 questions. Mm-hmm. So that was really good because I didn't think I'd get the opportunity to draft the responses to the questions. And I also didn't think that I'd get to do it. And it did put me out of my comfort zone a little bit. It was a bit nerve-wracking. And especially when you decided to tell us the amount of people watching.
I didn't tell you till the end.
You didn't. Yeah, but then I knew the next time. So it was still, it was nerve-wracking, but it was really good. And I'm just glad to have had that opportunity.
Very good. Just for people, if you don't know what the sessions are, the last working Friday of every month, we do a live Q&A on Teams where our clients and contacts put forward 3 questions that they want to be asked, employment-related questions, and the team answer them live. So we're usually getting we just had over 1,000 viewers for the last one. And then when we push them out as a podcast and as a video afterwards, we're getting about 15,000-20,000 watches. So they are a really, really well watched BD tool, basically, and obviously that's what they are designed for. So yeah, you're quite right, you prepared them, you delivered them all very, very well, and yeah, got quite a staggering listenership as well. Brilliant, thank you very much. Ellie, so your question, if you could learn from one experience during the past 2 years, what would it be and what did you learn from it?
So I've had plenty of opportunities to learn from lots of experiences during my training contract, such as attending court, settlement meetings and sort of training days. But if I had to pick one experience, it would probably be the first lockdown, as cliche as that is. I was about a week and a half into a whole new department, which means completely new and very different area of law for me. So not only did I have to learn that, but I also had to learn a completely new way of working, which was from home. Although I was able to access plenty of support from my supervisor, my team, it really helped me develop my independence as a lawyer. I had to be very proactive in trying to learn the new area of law and also overcome any challenges with the work, but also in trying to develop relationship with the new team and colleagues and clients, such as other professionals and rehab treatments, all over virtual means. So
yeah, it's hard enough, isn't it? I mean, we've got a lot of people sitting around the table today that are in new departments when it's face to face. Nathan himself has said he was nervous coming in this morning and starting a new department, as you'd expect. But yeah, the pandemic threw a lot of challenges like that, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It is nice to be back to speaking with people in person and working with everyone in the office. But
in some sense of normality.
Yeah, but it's definitely learned a lot.
So Charlotte, your question, what is the best piece of advice you could personally give to an aspiring trainee solicitor?
I think the best piece of advice that I could give is really just trust the recruitment process. I think be focused, do research, don't be afraid of sort of being ambitious and really putting yourself out there. But I think more than anything else, just sort of trust in the process. I remember somebody telling me when I was applying to Sintons that the recruitment process is sort of like 2 pieces of a jigsaw. As much as you need to find the firm that's right for you, the firm needs to know that you're going to be right for them. But I think if you just stay ambitious, stay driven and determined, if it's what you want, then it'll happen.
Okay, so Charlotte, your question is, give us your thoughts on law degree versus non-law degree.
So obviously I chose to do a non-law degree and then do a law conversion. And I chose to do that initially because I was really interested in criminal law.
Yeah.
So I chose to do a criminology degree. Obviously, looking back now, I haven't gone into criminal law. I'm about to qualify into commercial property, which is worlds apart from criminal law, but I don't regret going into law the way that I did.
Okay.
It gave me an opportunity to study something really interesting and also study law at the same time. The only thing that I would say about the GDL route is that I only got to study sort of what's classed as the main areas of law. So some of the other trainees might have experience in areas like employment, intellectual property, that kind of thing, which I didn't get the opportunity to study.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's hindered me at all in my training contract. Really, you're here to learn on the job, so it doesn't matter whether you have that prior experience coming into it. You're not expected to have that additional level of knowledge. So I would probably say if anybody has not done a law degree and wants to convert, then absolutely go for it. I don't think that you'll be hindered in the same way I haven't been. And equally, if there's something that you're particularly interested in that you think will still assist with a law degree and you want to go ahead and do that first of all and convert, then absolutely go ahead.
I think it throws up 2 things, doesn't it? Number one, someone's clearly listened to your podcast, because obviously that's a very specific question to you. But I think also it's what we've said through every single one of the episodes, is there's no fixed way. There are many, many different ways into law, many different routes, and you should really just do what you enjoy at this level, shouldn't you? And then I guess kind of think about it afterwards.
Absolutely.
Okay, Amy, you've got a slightly more left field question, I guess, compared...
I didn't submit this question.
No, and it wasn't Leah, to the other guys have got. But in 2022, what is considered a standard business dress code and what is expected of lawyers in this regard?
So I think this covers two different eventualities. I think you have in the office, just generally, it's definitely got more relaxed after lockdown. I know since we have a dress for the day policy.
Yeah.
So if you don't have any clients, you can come in smart casual,
Smart casual, yeah. I think that's the caveat, isn't it?
You're wearing jeans, for example, today. So, like, that's acceptable.
Jeans and a shirt and boots. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then if you're seeing clients, you do have to dress smart, and that will be business dress suits, particularly if it's new clients. But Sintons recommends that any trainee comes in business dress all days, every day, just in case we can get called into meetings at the very last minute. So we don't want to turn up to a client meeting in jeans. So, but that's why you have an emergency dress at work.
I think it's common sense approach, isn't it? It's smart business dress at the maximum. And I suppose the minimum is smart casual.
Yep.
Nobody's rocking in with board shorts, flip-flops and
no pajamas.
And vests, are they? You know, so I think common sense does apply.
Yeah,
thanks, Amy. Okay, Saffron, your question. What has professionally challenged you the most in the last 4 years and how did you overcome it? That's quite a probing in-depth one, that one, isn't it?
It is. Well, besides from the trainee challenges, which are definitely seem to get harder every year, but although it's been great fun.
Especially when you lost your phone last year, nearly sent me back into Scotland and your phone was in your bag. That challenged me, I think.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably just uni, so every year it's sort of a step up.
Sure.
And then with that, you've got the caseloads. As you get more experience, they step up as well. So
balancing the full-time work and the study as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that you've worded that perfectly, to be honest, David. So yeah, so being able to balance the two, it is definitely a skill I've had to learn, and sometimes it doesn't come naturally. And everyone gets those days where they're just having a bit of a stressy day, really.
Yeah, of course.
So I've learned to overcome that is just by making sure I'm organised.
Yeah.
As much as possible, and as I grow in experience, it gets a bit easier.
So what have you got left on your course now?
2 years. Right. I should graduate university at the end of this year.
Excellent. Right, Sam, so your question, you've got a really interesting one because yours is quite forward future looking. Question for you is, where do you see yourself professionally in 5 years' time?
Very good question, guys.
It is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting question, and of course it's...
Sounds a little bit like an interview, doesn't it?
It does, David, it does. I mean, it's kind of something I've thought about before, obviously, because I'm quite an ambitious person and I want to progress as well as I can in my career. I would see myself, I'm not sure what the timescale is to try and, you know, the internal promotion procedures to make partnership, but that's certainly something I want to do. I would possibly say I would hopefully be at least an associate, possibly a senior associate in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm already thinking about the things I need to do and the boxes I need to tick.
Yes.
And the work I need to bring in to become an associate. I've already looked at the criteria to do that. I appreciate I'm only 5 months newly qualified, but at the same time, I think you always need to be thinking about that next step.
You always have to have an eye for it.
Exactly. And as you know, David, I'm working with Tom Wills a lot in our rural team. Tom heads up that team, so my ambitions alongside Tom is to take that team further, to grow the team, not just in terms of the client base, but also in terms of geography. So I think we'd quite like to get down the country a bit. As you're aware, Tom and I are working out of York quite a bit. Got some good contacts with land agents down there, and we've got some clients down there. So it's certainly an ambition of the teams to kind of tap more into that market, Yorkshire market.
Yeah,
I think
it's such a fantastic space as well, the York office, and I'm really proud of that one, particularly as I found the space and
pat on the back there for you, David.
It is a great space, and obviously it was slightly interrupted by the pandemic, wasn't it? But so many things were, so it's great that there's a real wholesale effort to push on, and it really is, it's the window of Yorkshire, absolutely. No good answer, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so that concludes all of our questions. I think we've answered everything, haven't we, Leah, just looking at the list?
I mean, we did have a lot of questions to get through, didn't we? From everybody.
We did. It was difficult selecting them, wasn't it?
It was, and we got quite a few similar questions as well, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, we did.
So hopefully we've ticked off the majority. But as David says, if there's, you know, if you've got like a really burning question that we've not covered, then, you know, please do get in touch with us. You can email, you know, comment on our social media posts. You could direct message us on LinkedIn or Twitter. Just get in touch with us in any way that you want to.
Absolutely. Just a reminder at this point, because I do that in each of the podcasts, whilst the closing date has closed now for solicitor apprentices to join us in September 2022, we are still recruiting until the end of April this year for our 2024 trainee solicitor cohort. So, as I usually say, lots of information on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. A lot of information around recruitment. Obviously, you've got this podcast series as well. You can listen to all these episodes in chronological order, and we have given you top tips. We have talked about different areas of recruitment, living in the Northeast, our clients, our client base, our values, our visions, so much about us. We try to basically answer everything that all our current cohort were thinking when they were applying. You know, is this right for me? How do I go about doing it? How do I make myself stand out? What do I do when I actually get there? Will there be support? All these questions we've tried to answer, but there is a lot of written content on the website, and obviously the most importantly, the online application form, which you'll need to complete and submit by the end of April to express your interest. Okay, so that is literally everything we've got to say today. We are now going to record episode 12 with Ellie, aren't
yeah,
we?
We
so
are.
We're just a little bit behind, so we're looking forward to doing that. Ellie's just sat across from us wondering what we're going to ask her. So she's already told us she doesn't like where we're sitting, so we're going to move to where Ellie wants us to move to record. So we're going to do that. Hope it's been useful. Episode 15, which is our additional episode, will be with you next week, and that is when I take the back seat and Leah is going to interview me. So still not sure how I feel about it.
Neither do I, to be honest, but
but it does technically mean that I get to choose the left field question. So
on that, the tables have turned.
On that point, I'm quite looking forward to it. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you once again for listening. Thank you for making this podcast series so well listened, and we generally do appreciate it and are so pleased that it has added value to you. And we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.